You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
No me importa lo que de mí se diga. Vive usted vida que yo vivo la mía. Que solo una disfruta el momento. Que el tiempo se acaba y pa' atrás no vira. Viviendo, fumando y oyendo. Siga vacilando de party todos los días. Síguelo. Wow. Wow. Oh. Síguelo. Wow. Wow. Pepa. Y agua pa' la seca, todo el mundo es pa' ti, en la discoteca. Pepa y agua pa' la seca, todo el mundo es pa' ti, en la discoteca.
To celebrate her one-year anniversary at Meadowlark Media, and because we brought in Charlotte Wilder at a time that was at the beginning as part of her rookie hazing, just to drink her Celtics tears a year ago, Charlotte has now been promoted to the big seat. We have a flight problem here in terms of people fleeing around here. Mike has left the country. I'm not even making that up. Mike Ryan has simply left the country.
Cowards.
That is, say it with your chest.
I agree.
Cowards.
You gotta get in there. They are cowards. Mike Ryan has run away, and it's strange because he was right about a lot of different things, including saying before the season that they were a play-in and that they weren't good enough, which they were not. We'll get to the Heat stuff in a second, though. But Amino Hassan is taking like an urgent emergency flight to get here from Boston. He was at the game last night, and it makes me recall many years ago sitting next to Greg Cody at a Michael Jordan Heat playoff game. The Miami Heat, that was their best team to date. I think that had 61 wins on the season. And I think I have this right. The details don't matter as much as the joke Greg Cody made, which is Michael Jordan is up 3-0 in the series, and Phil Jackson's son, high school, is graduating from high school somewhere, and so Phil Jackson has to helicopter into the game because of Chicago traffic and everything. And again, Michael Jordan was up 3-0 in the series. And Greg Cody's joke was, never has a man hurried more to a place he was needed less than Phil Jackson rushing in to Chicago. And what I would just say to you is, Amin is rushing that way to get here, and he's not really needed, given that the dissection of the Heat season tends to be a pretty easy one today.
I think there's lots of common rationale that you can bring to the analysis today. I think there's acknowledgement of where the team stands and
all
what
right,
it could have been.
Go sit in the penalty box
what?
For 2 minutes.
That was
go,
a quick
go,
one.
Go
yeah.
sit in the penalty box
yeah,
for
good,
2 minutes. We'll get back to you.
Good
and,
job, Johnny.
And we're undermanned today and undermanned. So go sit in the penalty box and get your act together.
Oh, weird.
I'm fine.
What am I drinking, Dan? Is this...
Oh, it's heat tears. You're drinking heat tears today. Yes, Charlotte.
Oh, interesting.
Eric Spoelstra says he's not watching any more Celtics games. I imagine a lot of Heat fans are going to check out of the playoffs now. The Boston Celtics, for those of you not paying attention, four of the five games that the Celtics played, they played those four games all season long.
Yes.
They crushed everybody like that.
Yes, they were so dominant that it was at times, I mean, I said on Oddball, I was like, this team is like a bunch of, watching a bunch of assassins. It's like a John Wick movie with like five John Wicks.
The Expendables? That's
sure.
a better. Well, it's just more of them, right? John Wick movie is five John Wicks. The Expendables.
And there's really not five John Wicks. There's only one John Wick, so you can't be. Five
well, there are
John
five
Wicks.
John Wicks, but then there are five different movies. It's all the same John Wick in a bunch yeah. of different movies. She's talking about putting all of them in one movie. That's
but your
the
Expendables is better, yeah.
Or it's John Wick five times. Hear me out. That's it. What is he? I haven't seen the Expendables, Dan.
It's you all of them.
Seen the
it's all. It's,
it's. Imagine the greatest. Fighters of all time, crime fighters, mm. all those kind of
and
people.
Kelsey Grammer
thrown together.
What?
With one mission, one circular focus mission.
The guy from Frasier.
Yes, and Frasier.
That is Frasier.
That
right?
would have been a funnier way for me to say it. And Frasier. Yeah,
I wouldn't have gotten that one. Charlotte, what if I wouldn't have gotten it?
You don't know Kelsey Grammer as Frasier.
Frasier, no, I don't know.
I barely know Kelsey Grammer as Kelsey Grammer.
I know country grammar.
Wow, I feel old now.
Shout
all right, get me the list of the Expendables, and there are multiple Expendables movies because it eventually it went out to include Statham and a bunch of others. But I think the original conceit was, can you believe that Schwarzenegger was it? Is it Schwarzenegger and Stallone were in the same movie? Was Schwarzenegger in the Expendables? I haven't seen any of these movies such a long time.
I could Google it, but what's on my Google right now? I Googled heat collapse. You know, just to have some stuff to talk about today.
Who cares about that?
Well, do you know what comes up? I care about it because what comes up is heat syncope is a fainting episode or dizziness that usually occurs when standing for too long or suddenly standing up after sitting or lying. Feels a little bit applicable for what Miami did. No.
Yeah, but imagine a movie that has Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Dolph Lundgren, Jet Li, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terry Crews, Wesley Snipes, Randy Couture, Mickey Rourke, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Chuck Norris, Antonio Banderas, Liam Hemsworth, Glenn Powell, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Wait.
Scott Adams?
They're all in
Are
the
you
same
kidding me?
Movie. You're just learning of this now. You're stunned. Charlotte is wide-eyed. That's a
Glenn
real thing.
Glenn Powell? Like, this is recent? You say the Expendables.
Expendables 1 is from 2010.
I think he's listing all of the movies there. I don't think that he is that wasn't.
There's more than one Expendable.
There are multiple Expendables movies.
You know what
yes.
they call Miami Heat.
He was doing the whole series.
Hold on a minute. Charlotte's trying to make a joke here. Will you leave room for the Stugat seat to make a joke?
I feel the power of Stugat sitting here. I feel myself just getting cockier and.
I know,
and
but
more...
you didn't make the joke. Are you going to make
okay,
the joke?
Okay. You know what they call Miami Heat, Dan?
Uh huh.
The Expendables.
Go sit in the penalty box.
No, please. Please.
I do
please,
think...
Dan,
no,
please.
But you can't beg no. your way out of the penalty box. Go sit in there for
I do
minutes.
Think there is a conversation to be had about this Heat team because everyone's just assuming that they didn't have enough. I don't know what we learned about this Heat team this season because of all the injuries. I do think there's one thing we learned, and it's Tyler Hero. I think we learned his ceiling is lower than we thought.
All right, well, let's explain some of this here because I deserve Heat fans and other fans are coming after me today, and I deserve this particular bit of criticism. I've told you along the way what it is that the Heat's assessment was of Tyler Hero when he was drafted. Devin Booker was one of his favorite players, and the Miami Heat's assessment, not my assessment, was that his ceiling was Devin Booker, that he should think that high. That was the hope for him. And so I told you that. Before last season, though, no one from the Miami Heat told you what I told you, which is now the bad analysis that is circulating all around Heat Twitter and the country. A whole bunch of people laughing at me because I dared to say a year ago that Maxey wasn't that much better than Tyler Hero, that there wasn't that much of a difference. Now, at the time that I said that, Maxey wasn't the most improved player, but my analysis on projection, obviously wrong. Tyler Hero cannot lead a team as the primary scorer the last three, not a good playoff team and not against that defense. And last night, again, they're in 80-point range. They're playing the games that the Knicks and the Heat were playing in the 1990s when the rules were all different because they can't get any offense. And the reason for that is all of their players are hurt. All of their offense is hurt. And so the only offense they had out there was Tyler Hero. And when that's the case, he'll start looking like Trae Young without the 35 shots because no one for the Heat is ever going to take 35 shots.
I think it's fair to say that there are multiple things here. The Heat We never got to see what this team could have been like at full strength at any point this season, by the way. When Terry Rozier was acquired, you didn't really get to see very many games of him and Tyler Hero as potential scoring options.
More starting lineups than any Heat franchise has ever used in a season.
And the only team with as many starting lineups as they had that finished above 500, they finished 10 games above 500. It was a war of attrition all season long, and you didn't really get an opportunity to see what they could have been at full strength. At the same time, you are allowed to make the assessment of, hey, there are some tweaks needed to be able to turn this team into a title contender moving forward.
I said all year long.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Yes. Thank you, Jeremy, for allowing us to have the opinion, hey, Pat, can you make some tweaks? Thank you for giving us permission.
No, you can't say.
You're going to wait until I'm finished saying, and then you can say.
That's fair.
Thank you for allowing me that as well.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete, total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Dan Le Batard.
Yeah, enjoy a long and fruitful run, Dan.
What was that voice?
A Celtics fan.
That was a Celtics fan?
Well, it was me.
Stugatz.
It's amazing to see the mask pulled off and to see you so clearly. You were in such good disguise, and I didn't know it was you. But then
it's me, a Celtics fan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Heat fans today do not want to hear about tweaks. And while we can sit here and lament injury, everyone can and offer that as perspective. That Celtics team has gotten a good deal better and is younger. Mm-hmm. And you've fallen behind them in a way that requires more than just tweaks. It's not just tweaks. It is obvious if Tyler Hero isn't going to rise to be a player like Maxey, it is then obvious that the player you have to get for a 35-year-old Jimmy Butler is someone who is better than Jimmy Butler. So that if he's going to age here, he's going to do so not as the lead player.
Offensively, fair. Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler is your core. I think what the issue and the initial reaction has been is this concept of like blow it up, right? What does blow it up mean? Because your core has been three guys.
Greg Cody said that dynamite the team, and then he said dynamite it strategically. So Right. Where are we on this? Between dynamite
it's
the
TNT
team,
Day Dano.
Dynamite the team, dynamite strategically, and tweaks.
Well, okay, so dynamite strategically, I guess, is really what it is, right? Because it's taking potentially Tyler Hero or other players and turning it
into different supporting cast around Jimmy and Bam. Dynamite means get rid of everybody.
I think we should put Tony outside of the arena just making that gesture. I think we should have like a gathering or create a seance or bring someone over from a Santeria Bodega and go over there and have some sort of ritual that gets the haunting out of that place.
TNT Day, Dano. You know, obviously it's at the memoriam, the everybody wants to see what happened in the season. Greg Cody was right 2 weeks ago. TNT Day. It's right now.
Remember when Kyrie saged the Celtics, the TD Garden?
Yes.
You could see if he's... Oh, sorry. No, he's busy because he's also still in That's the playoffs. Right.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, the Heat
aren't. You could use a player like him.
Yeah, the Heat
We're going to...
I'm fine.
We're going to hang banners here. The Heat season lasted longer than LeBron's, lasted longer than Steph's.
That's right.
Lasted longer than Devin Booker's and Kevin Durant. Those are the banners that are going to go up for this Heat season. What can we do, Tony, outside of the arena... To give some Latin spirituality to getting the vibes out of that place, because one of the great this is the thing that snuck up on me, okay, and I'm going to say snuck up on the Heat even though they tried to get Damian Lillard. When you've gone two straight seasons as the equivalent of the 8 seed, and then the top of the conference gets so much better than what you're presently offering, the window just closed. The Butler window just closed. And you've got to see that if you're the organization 2 years two years faster than I see it.
The conversation has been getting a star around Bam Adebayo's age and prime, right? And that kind of was the conversation before last season as well, that if you were going to acquire whatever superstar, it was going to be someone that could complement both the Jimmy and Bam window. Not someone as young as Tyler Hero that was still developing, but someone that was more established. Those players initially that were floated out there, Bradley Beal, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell even, all of those trade partners seemingly were asking for Bam Adebayo. And so the answer was no, as it should have been the entire time. You were building around a future with Bam. The problem has been, when the Heat have offered Tyler Hero and pieces, that has not been enough to get whatever the star is. And that's why this offseason is so complicated.
But that's why Mike suggested, and he's not saying Bam's not good, he's your best piece.
Yeah.
If you're going to get a star, and I'm not saying trade Bam.
No franchise would have Bam and trade Bam, unless you're getting like Luka Doncic.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you want to get a star like that, but we mentioned the Heat's window closing. Can you slam a window?
Absolutely.
What's the most aggressively you can close a window?
It might break.
You can break it,
slam
but then
doors
you can still
shut.
Go through it. So I would think slamming it. Let me ask you guys a question. When it comes to the Heat, how much of the Heat culture, the mentality, the like, we're tough, do you think that ever becomes a liability in terms of...
It's never a liability. It's always something that matters. Even when it gets eliminated from the playoffs, I imagine it coming back in game one of the next series the Celtics play and strangling Derek White to death.
See, this is what I'm looking for.
Well, here's
this
the problem.
You're not going to get it from me.
No,
I'm
but
fine.
Here's
you told me I wasn't sad enough last year when the Celtics were losing, so...
I will tell you what's sad about this. This is what people will get today that they did not get a few days ago that they wanted from this show when the Miami Heat were down 3-1. And this is what they'll get today, because there are a couple of things here that really are... They're shivving the Heat fan base. One is that you're watching New York really enjoy basketball right now. Mm-hmm. Two, you're watching Boston Celtics basketball be as overwhelming as it's been this century. And I'm including a championship team in there. I'm including a team that went to two finals in there when I tell you that this thing that I'm watching that runs roughshod over everybody in the league for an entire season, this can beat anyone that way four times in seven games. But this is the part that stings. Like what I'm about to say, even with all your rationale, and it is rational, about, well, they were injured and this and this and this. After 5 years fighting at the top of that conference, the very two best teams in that conference, rivals, legitimate rivals, the Celtics just ended the Heat as we know them. This team like this, Riley does not keep with these things where he's seeing things 2 years later – then he should be seeing them without changing them. I've told you before that before, I think it was a Make-A-Wish dinner, right before Pat Riley was headed to a charity dinner of some sort and told everybody that he was not going to blow up the team, he wasn't going to trade anybody. And then nine dudes got traded during dinner. Like during the charity dinner, because he will not, he's not going to do it this way where he loses to that team, loses to that organization, and has everyone know, oh, the Celtics just passed you. And they didn't just pass you as a team. They did that, yes. But now they've done it as an organization because you've got Brad Stevens in charge of something. And over the last 2 years, while you were fighting at the top of the conference, his team got better than your team.
Also, Brad Stevens winning Executive of the Year. I mean, the broadcast, they said, you know, executive of the year, and just panned in on him and just held there. And I feel like that is the cruelest thing that they, that's what to Pat Riley, it's like, wait a second, that's my crown. Like, I'm the mastermind. I'm the one who builds these things. I find the pieces we need. I make the moves that no one else saw coming. I move these chess pieces. And his team is out there. Obviously, the injuries, you can't, you know. That's a very real
nobody
thing.
Nobody cares this time of year, though.
Sure.
And cares. I'm tired of hearing about the injuries. They're the most injured team.
Who cares?
So without the injuries.
Okay, and? So without the injuries, then.
Without the injuries, if you look at it, I mean, that's what the Heat did to both the Bucks and the Celtics the last couple of years, is they beat them so handily that they changed the pieces around their core. They had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and they added Derek White, and they got rid of Marcus Smart. And they added Kristaps Porzingis because the Heat were too good.
You love this course
the Bucks,
so much.
But they, no, added, the Bucks, they added the same pieces. Deal.
The Heat
was
didn't.
It the Heat? No, but did the Heat make them do that?
Yeah, they beat them in seven in the conference finals, and they changed their team. Oh, and the Bucks did the same thing by getting rid of Drew Holiday and turning him into
put
Damian Lillard.
Put that on the banner, too. Put on the banner, made the Celtics trade for greatness.
But that's exactly what will happen with
better.
The Heat, is that they'll get better. They'll try to make moves to get better. The position that they're in that is tough is what do you do to get better? Because this offseason, this past offseason, they tried to do the same thing. They had one conversation with Joe Cronin. And then Joe Cronin iced them out of spite, and they couldn't land Damian Lillard, and then they had no backup option. That's on them to come back and not be able to go from there. But their idea was, when fully healthy, the deepest team we've had, all of those things. And then it all fell apart in the end because of a Jimmy Butler knee injury and Terry Rozier sleeping wrong on the road.
Because of a pump fake. It's not a knee injury. Oh, it's a pump fake that led to the knee injury.
I can't believe that is a criticism.
What are we doing?
Jeremy, hold on a second. Jeremy, for the record, when you say you don't, what is that as criticism, the pump fake? I'm not going to criticize that pump fake. I'm going to tell you that the first most obvious sign that a star player who was athletic is in decline, and Wade will tell you this, and Barkley will tell you this. Man, I hated my career when I had to start with all the pump fakes because I had to get guys up in the air because I couldn't be over them anymore. Like, that's how it ages in that sport with scorers
and
drivers.
All Jason Tatum did all series was pump fake and draw fouls.
Meanwhile, Jalen Brunson would like a word.
Jeremy.
It's just how you play the game.
Jason Tatum is not 35.
No, like, I'm not arguing that Jimmy's in the same athletic prime.
Jimmy Butler, the last few times we've seen Jimmy Butler play playoff games, the last of the finals, and he hasn't had legs.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Butler I saw against Denver in the finals was a Jimmy Butler who would not beat Denver if they played 1,000 times because there was no way he was going to get to one of those 40-point games.
He didn't have legs the moment he rolled his ankle against the Knicks. Like, that was it. He got hurt when Josh Hart fell under his foot. He rolled his ankle. He didn't play for most of the rest of that series, and he didn't look like himself against the Celtics. Caleb Martin was the hero of that series.
You remember last year when Jimmy hurt his ankle and the Knicks were like, you know what? I don't think we're going to go right at him. They're like, we're going to let Jimmy.
It was a crazy approach.
Yeah, we're just going to let Jimmy rehab in the corner here and not take advantage of that.
I've got to tell you that as I'm watching what's happening here, this is, I don't think it's prisoner of the moment to say that if I tell you without any of the emotional context, one of these teams has been an 8 seed for 2 years and the other one has been consistently getting better except when they run into the 8 seed.
Yes.
And now this is the best version of the Celtics that I have seen this century. And I'm telling you that as someone who saw them beat Kobe, who saw them play against Kobe in the finals, who saw them win a championship with Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. That team didn't do what to the league, what this team has done to the league. And Boston's going to largely get to the finals playing all of its games like that because no one in this conference can play with that.
Well, it's sort of, it's terrifying. When you like to watch them play, the ruthlessness and the efficiency, and when they are all, when all of your players have close to 20 points in a game, your best players, your starting players, it starts to be like, how does anybody combat that? What is anyone to do when everybody's a threat? You double team one guy?
No,
okay.
But I'll tell you how to combat it, right? It's difficult because the Heat made more three-pointers in one game than they made in all of the rest of the games combined. The way you beat it is to be better at threes than they are. But when I tell you that I think this Celtics team is better than the one I was watching with Ray Allen, I am accounting for the way the game has changed, how differently it's played, and how perfectly suited the spacing on this team is to beat everyone they play by double digits. Do you understand how rare it is to see playoff games? I know the Heat got the one and it distorts things, where a team is just from start to finish up by 20 and 30 points and you're not going to do anything about it. Like, that's not how playoff games work. Not one against eight, not at all, and then they just grind you to dust in the last one. And you can say all you want about the injuries and the offense. The Celtics do that to everybody. Whether you're hurt or not, they beat you by 20, they beat you by 30, they beat you by 50 a couple of times this season, and it's why I'm telling you, like, it may lose, and whatever the analysis is about their frailties may come to be. I don't know what Denver or Minnesota or OKC will match up with them in the finals. But if this team doesn't get hurt, like, it's a clear sail to the final.
And you look at the number one seed in the other side of the conference, in the Western Conference, the Pelicans gave OKC a bunch of tough games, right? And then you look over in the East, and
Not a bunch.
They gave them three tough games.
A couple.
They didn't win one.
A couple.
They swept them, right?
Yes.
They got swept.
No, Tony's just
SGA hit a game winner in one
of
them.
That was the close one.
There was a couple tough games.
It's okay. You don't have to entrench yourself here. You can get to the rest of the point.
There was a couple of tough games in a way where there wasn't in the Heat and Celtics.
They won a game. What are you talking about?
It wasn't even close.
All right, Tony, go sit in the penalty box.
You need me here, Dan.
No, I don't need you here. Not if that's going to be the analysis.
The Celtics are a world beater.
It was a tough sweep. They gave him a tough sweep.
It was.
Not really.
The Lakers had a little tough one.
The last two games weren't very... Don't get out of the room.
Is there such a thing?
Do a little research here. Hold on.
It's not... Put it on the poll, Juju. Is there such a thing as a tough sweep? And video, please put on the screen there just the outfit that Tyler Hero came into the game with. You cannot beat an overwhelming Celtics team dressed this way. You can't... this is not... I mean, come on. Come on.
Oh, Popeye.
Come on. I said.
Popeye, where's Waldo?
I said this was as good as Maxi.
Gotta shave that chin, too.
It is the chin strap.
What kind of hat is that?
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. So saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who downloaded the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses and then watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code DLS. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states. To open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit. Up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires 2-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus release in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
Dan Le Batard.
Go pee-pee.
Stugats.
Go pee-pee.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Tony's still arguing with me during the break.
Tough sweep. Two of the four games, Dano, 50% of the games were under double digits. One by two, one by nine.
At Levitard Show, is there ever such a thing as a tough sweep when only two of the games are under double digits?
Lakers almost had a tough sweep against the Nuggets. Come on, guys. You guys don't watch ball, clearly.
David Sampson, Real Hoopers know. Tony knows.
Thank you.
David Sampson joins us now. Nothing Personal is the name of his podcast. I suggest that you check it out because there's no one doing exactly what he's doing as a solo voice, tackling the stuff he's tackling. Before we get to him, though, Charlotte, go ahead and have at Tyler Hero's outfit. It is behind me. I don't know where you're looking. It's giant and behind me.
Yeah.
And you had thoughts on everything that Tyler Hero is doing here. That hat looks like something that has been in my like underneath the seat of my car for about 3 weeks. Just the shape of the hat. I'm talking about something that looks like something my father would wear because it's not, it's it, and it also looks like a gone fishing hat as well.
Yes, but hear me out, Dan. That is cool now. The individual pieces of Hero's outfit, I actually don't have a problem with. I think that this hat is charming.
The hat's
it
fire. Looks,
yeah, it's fire. It's vintage. I can't read it because I don't have my glasses on.
It looks like an no, SEC championship game of some sort.
It's fire and vintage, but I can't see it. The 90s are coming back now? Is that what's happening?
It's 1994 SEC Gators versus someone.
Gators, yep, can't tell. It doesn't matter. Cool hat. I like the black brim. That is a way that the kids these days are wearing the hats, which is, a little misshapen. The sunglasses, too. Fine. For me, it's the boat neck of the shirt. With a little bit of the white shirt. If you're listening to this in the audio medium that some are wont to do, this is a red, sort of heat-colored striped shirt with a black collar and a boat neck, and you can see some white underneath. With the goatee,
it's Dan, a normal neck of a normal-sized NBA player. That's what happens when a toddler wears an NBA player's shirt.
Aww.
And look, the neck size! That's the neck.
Looks
that's
like you pushed a watermelon
that,
through it.
Shaq's head wouldn't fit through that.
It's a style. Well, I think on no, it, it would be scaled to an NBA player so that it would still be a boat neck, Dan. He looks very French in a Florida way.
I couldn't have any less style, but I like a tight neck. I like a tight neck with my shirt.
Samson, do you have any thoughts here on what it is that we're presently doing?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a dress code when you're on the road with your team.
Oh.
And this clearly is not it.
Oh, no.
What Come year on, are you David. In?
What are you no.
talking
about?
Can wear a suit
about?
Up there? Give me a break.
Oh, no. David.
There's a dress code. You have to
we
be
had
presentable
a dress code.
When you're on the road going from the hotel to the bus and then the bus into the ballpark. And I also question the 94. Is that a little dig to Pat Riley?
No,
Pat Riley does not like 1994.
Is it his age? I'm looking at
Paul. Whoa! He is not 94. David. No. David.
No. Oh, he was born in 2000, Tyler Hero.
No, Pat Riley does not like 1994.
Charlotte, go sit in the penalty box.
No, please,
go sit in the penalty box for 2 minutes. Get out of here.
I keep having to get up.
David, can you just stand up for a second so I can see your dress code? Can you just stand up? Okay, very good.
Perfect. Marlins basketball shorts.
All right.
I still have a connection in the clubhouse.
I want to talk to you about Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, getting an amazing offer. This is not something I think I can recall seeing. Being offered $10 billion for his team, his stadium, and F1. What did you think of that report?
The first thing I thought is that he says he doesn't need estate planning, but he does. He wants to keep certain assets in the family. It's hard to pass down three levels of assets that he has, which are he's got a huge amount of real estate assets. I assume most of those are in trusts. But when you have a team and then the stadium, two different assets, and then people are calling F1 an asset, we should point out he doesn't own F1. What he has is the ability and a contract to put F1 races on his stadium land. And that's very valuable. But the biggest piece of his pie is clearly the Dolphins, which the Commanders went for $6 billion. You could argue the Dolphins are a $5 billion team. The stadium has a ton of different events, but is it $3 to $4 billion worth to own that land? People outside of Miami, I don't know if you saw this, the land in South Beach is invaluable. I read that on a blog somewhere. And I laughed because the stadium's in Miami Gardens. They just show pictures of South Beach whenever they're showing the Dolphins games. But if that offer is real, and I doubt it is, it deserves consideration.
Tell me about the offer, though. Why do you doubt that it is? Why do you think that this is coming out? What did you think of the valuations of F1 and Stadium? Just take me through the finances of some of this as you're doing a sporting class with Skipper this week, correct? We've got that coming out tomorrow?
Yes, it's coming out tomorrow. We did it yesterday, and it's actually a very, very good episode. People like that story. We have so much to talk about that we did. We didn't even get to this because it merely is a rumor. We had people calling up the Marlins all the time offering to buy the team and putting crazy numbers out there, even crazier than the $1.2 billion that actually ended up being the sale price, because people throw numbers out because it makes them feel good that they can maybe finance it or maybe do it or maybe own how cool it is with the Grand Prix this weekend to be the sort of celebrity that Steve Ross is. But when you break down the different assets, a stadium, and don't forget that Hard Rock Stadium gets public subsidy. People don't talk about that a lot, but they're every deal that Steve Ross has done to bring tennis, to bring Grand Prix, even with Dolphins, he gets public money for that. But the bottom line is a stadium in general has never been worth, even with the real estate, in the billions of dollars. No matter what events you're having there, the biggest one is the Dolphins. And I think the Dolphins are worth less than the Commanders, not more. So $10 billion, if you're going to split it 5-4-1 with $1 billion, the value of an F1 contract, that is something that I don't know if it can't be real. Because if it were, as a business person, as an octogenarian, as someone with estate planning issues, you've got to take that deal.
Chris Cody, do you know if we have any audio of David Sampson stridently saying that Major League Baseball would not change its uniforms at any point during the season? Because you came on very strong here. You're rarely that kind of obviously loud wrong.
Wait, what? How am I wrong?
Because they are changing the uniforms, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
No, not till next season.
So you're claiming, all right, we'll see if we can get the sound of what it is you claim.
I'll give you the sound.
Well, no,
I said they're not changing the uniforms this year.
They looked it up, and it turned out David was kind of right. So that's why we didn't cut the sound.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, we can't do that. We can't cut the sound if David's right. What fun
is
that?
Well, we could cut it off before he's right.
Yeah, what fun is that?
He sent it to me. I said, get this sound out of here.
You guys did that to me the other day.
Okay, go sit in the penalty box, Jeremy.
I'm just trying to help, man. I'm producing.
Changes will be made to both uniforms and pants no later than the start of the 2025 season. Which could be sooner.
I want to ask you about this other story, David, because I think James Dolan is really, or missed already, just a great opportunity, because Michael Rubin, a former Sixers owner, has bought 2,000 tickets for local distribution in Philadelphia tonight so that the Knicks fans cannot take over the arena again the way they did last time, and he's giving them away to first responders. I think James Dolan should have bought 3,000 tickets, given them away to first responders, and then sent them all down to Philadelphia. He had a real opportunity to just
a game of first responders. No, yeah. Were we playing like the Army Navy game? Just full of military.
You just try to buy a bunch of good marketing by just shipping them around as like bobbleheads all over the place.
That's
just
4,000 tickets for Marines right here.
Yeah. Michael Rubin made a mistake here by bringing in Josh Harris and David Blitzer into the conversation. Those are the owners of the Sixers. Michael Rubin's not. He's a former owner who had to sell because he started an online gambling app. So as part of buying PointsBet Fanatics, he had to divest of the Sixers ownership. Yet he then goes public saying the Sixers ownership was a part of this, and it couldn't be a worse look, because the irony is that the 2,000 seats they bought, you can bet your bippy, are above the camera angle. So when the camera is doing the game tonight, you're going to see maybe 15 to 20 rows up, and it's going to be plenty of Knicks fans.
Sorry, Dave.
And so therefore, what he is trying to do by bringing Sixers fans to the upper deck, who gives a rat's pituitary gland? And it just brought bad press upon the existing owners of the Sixers, like they're desperate I found it to just be bad every step of the way.
Can we go back to bet your Bippy for a second?
What's a
David?
Bippy?
What's a Bippy, and why are you betting it?
The guy that help you know does shows for kids.
What?
Or is that Blippy?
That's Bluey.
What's your, That's Blippy.
What's your Bippy? What is it to bet one's Bippy?
I always viewed my Bippy as my core.
Really, it sounds to me like you're betting your grandmother. Doesn't Bippy sound like something someone would call
their
grandmother?
It does sound like something.
Holding up stockings with a clipper.
My dear
that's a Bippy.
My dear old Bippy.
I'm seeing the expression, you bet your sweet Bippy, was popularized in the late 1960s television show Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Funny, that's what I was going to call a podcast I wanted to pitch to you, Dan.
Is that what you were referencing, 1960s Laugh-In?
No. And if that's the provenance, then thank you for telling me that, Chris. I've now learned something. I just say instead of bet your ass, I say bet your Bippy.
It's
a
euphemism.
I don't want to say ass on the show.
Yeah, it's a euphemism for an unspecified part of the body.
Baby.
All right, so you can bet your unspecified part of the body.
Generally understood
as... I like to think it's a belly button.
Butt or ass.
Well, bet your belly button. That's not happening.
Who are you being right now? Who is this? Who were you impersonating? Was that a man? Was that a woman? Was that a southerner? What was that?
Just being herself.
That was me doing a version of myself. You know, someone on YouTube commented and said, it sounds like Charlotte's on muscle relaxers.
You've sounded like that today. You haven't really been aggressive. Like, that seat's aggressive.
I'm aggressive?
If you're going to sit there, Charlotte, you've got to be on point.
You've been talking under your breath. You've been trying to sneak in. I think she's been great.
I'm not saying she hasn't been great,
but she needs to be a little more aggressive in that seat.
Okay, David, why did you say bet your Bippy?
There you go. But we already
well,
answered
Charlotte,
that.
Because better? I didn't want to say bet your ass.
There you go.
Well, maybe you should try saying bet your ass.
You don't.
Yeah, go Charlotte.
You don't have
say it with your chest,
no.
Dan.
Yeah. David, good talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Say it with your unspecified body part, Dan.
Yes.